We're going to begin in Acts chapter 7, but just while you're turning there, I have to tell you all this morning that as we were coming here to the meeting hall at 9 o'clock this morning, my daughter-in-law Rachel, Jason and Rachel, gave birth to our 21st grandchild, and so we're so thankful that the Lord helped and everyone is well. And so this is absolutely fresh news, and we're thankful to the faithfulness of our Lord in answering our prayers.
Amen.
We want to look this morning at a few examples in the life of Abraham as we see faithfulness displayed and lived out in Abraham. As we look at various individuals from the scriptures that are given to us as examples of faith, I'm thinking of the scripture in Hebrews 13, the expression that says, whose faith follow, and to seek to have these ones set before us by way of their faith. To see the example of faith that was exemplified in their lives as a challenge for us in our own. And so we want to begin by looking at Abraham, and I'd like to begin in Acts chapter 7. And we want to look at four aspects of faith or faithfulness as seen in the life of Abraham. The first will be the object of faith, then the obedience of faith, then the endurance of faith, and lastly, the trial of faith. And we begin by looking at the object of faith as seen by Abraham. And we want to read first a verse from Acts chapter 7, verse 2. Stephen is speaking there at the beginning. He says, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. And then I'd like to see, pay attention to this expression. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. This expression, first of all. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, come into the land which I shall show thee. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan or Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. The object of faith. Abraham was living in Ur of the Chaldees. It was a land, a country, a city, a home where idolatry was the norm. There was a God for this, a God for that. Everything, there was multiple gods, man-made gods of stone, gods of wood. Idolatry was prevalent. And when we come to this testimony of Stephen as with regards to Abraham, the God of glory appeared unto Abraham. Now there was one, the God of glory. Here was one who came and appeared unto Abraham. He was the God who excelled in glory. It wasn't a God who was glorious. He isn't that. He is that. But it is the God of glory. It is the one who excelled in glory. Glory was his very character and nature. And this one appeared unto Abraham. And at this point in time in Abraham's life, everything changed. From this point forward, Abraham's life was changed, his motivation was changed, his direction was changed, his life, his position on earth was changed, all because the God of glory appeared unto him when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. For faith, there must be an object. And for Abraham, the object was now the God of glory, the one who excelled in all things. And if we look at Hebrews 11 and in verse 1, where we find the definition really to us of what faith is, We read there, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction or evidence of things not seen. Not seen? Not seen to our mortal eyes, but very much brought into the field of our vision, of our spiritual vision. That which our spiritual eyes would focus upon, the object of faith. For Abraham, it was the God of glory who appeared unto him, who now became the object of his faith, and who would now change everything that he knew and everything in his life moving forward. So first of all, there must be, for faith and for faithfulness, there must be an object. For Abraham, the God of glory. How does this apply to us? When I think of the question that the Lord Jesus asked of the Pharisees, what think ye of Christ? And that's a question I would challenge each one of us this morning. What think ye of Christ? Have you seen him? By faith. Have you heard him? By faith. Do you know him and have come into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has loved you and given himself for you, that he might redeem you and bring him unto yourself and give you a new life? Abraham was given, as it were, a new life. Everything in his life was changed from this point forward. And for us, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, as a new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it is that life that we go forth now in living in faithfulness to him. But we must have an object of faith for faithfulness. And this is the challenge for us this morning. First of all, what is the object of faith for you and for me? I can say the object of faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham could say it is the God of glory. Faithfulness has much to do with the value of the object that would be set before us. How do I value the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that value, there's a response. And this brings us to point number two. There's the object of faith, and then there's the obedience of faith. And the obedience of faith is our response to the one who has become the object of faith, the one who has attracted my heart. And this would then respond to the word of God. The God of glory appeared unto Abraham. But he didn't just appear, he then spoke to him. And when he spoke to him in the passage in Acts chapter 7 that we just read, he said to him, get you out of your country and out of your land into one that I will show you. Read these verses in Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11 we have in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, what did he do? The scripture gives us testimony. He obeyed and he went out, not knowing where he went. The obedience of faith. Now let's turn to Genesis chapter 12, where we have this account given to us here, historically, from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, and verse 1. And we'll read this account here, beginning at verse 1, and I'll select just a couple of verses here. Verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land which I will show thee. Verse 2 and 3 give us the promises of God to Abraham that is faithful to his word that we already heard in the first lecture. Verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Verse 5, in the middle of the verse, and they went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. The obedience of faith responds to the word of God. And God called Abraham, and he called him, and he called him to separate from everything that he knew in his life naturally. Verse 1. He called him out of thy country. He separates him from everything that he knew nationally, his nation, everything that he knew politically. He says, get out of that. Everything that he knew from his social setting, his kindred, separate from that. Everything that he knew of his father's house, he called him out of his father's house, separate from that. Why? Every one of these spheres of his activities, relationship, and his association in his life was all steeped in idolatry. It was that which had rejected God, the authority of God, the word of God, everything that God had set up for man, rejected. And God says to Abraham, get out of that and come into a place that I will show you. He separates him from all of his old associations. Why? The God of glory had appeared unto Abraham. And now in Abraham's life, the glory of God would be a testimony to the world that had rejected God in all of his glory, all of his rights, all of his authority. Will not have him, the world says. And so Abraham is called out. And it's just like us as we make the application. We're still here in this world. Abraham still was in the world also, but not of it. And all of that, this might be the challenge for us. The obedience of faith to be here going through this world in testimony for Christ, not of this world. We're not of this world. We're in it, yes, traveling through it to our home to glory. But notice how God does not ask Abraham. He doesn't say, go reform the world. No, he says he calls him out of the world. Be ye separate. Come out from amongst them, saith the Lord. And notice those verses in verse 4 and verse 5. He departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. That's the obedience of faith. He went as God had spoken unto him. And in verse 5, we read that he went to go to the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan he came. And that is the pathway of faithfulness that God brings about his purpose in the ones that he has chosen to fulfill that purpose in. What are some of the characteristics of the obedience of faith that we've just seen in the life of Abraham? Notice, I would say that the obedience of faith, I want to be careful with this word, but the obedience of faith is voluntary. Abraham believed God, he accepted his word, and he obeyed. Did he have to? Well, we can say from a human point of view, or a fleshly point of view, no, he didn't have to. But the God of glory had appeared unto him. The God of glory was now the object of faith, and faith would require a response, and the obedience of faith would be to do those things that the object of faith, the God of glory, would set before him to do. So he obeys because that's the desire of his heart to do so. Not because I have to, but because I want to. And not only because I want to, but I want to satisfy the heart of the one who has called me. The one who is set before me as the object of faith would be the one who, by desire of heart engaged with him, would be to engage his heart and to do as his desire is towards me. Why? Because he is faithful and he'll keep me through it. Because he loved me and gave himself for me. The obedience of faith. Number 2, to trust him. When we walk with the Lord, we just sang to him. Trust and obey. Here was Abraham. trust in God. What's the verse that we read in Hebrews chapter 11? He went out not knowing where he went. He trusted God, and God would be faithful to his word. And so he went out, and he takes God at his word, and he goes, not knowing where he went. Full, complete trust in God. And thirdly, it's not a reasoning faith. Why? How come? Why do you want me to leave my family and country, all the things that I have known, and question God on account of all of these things? No, the obedience of faith doesn't question God. It takes God and his word, and it doesn't ask the question, why? Young people, as we speak these things, it's not because they're not a challenge to us also. This is very much a challenge to the Christian pathway as we are here in this wilderness. And we need to ever be reminded of the object of faith. What think ye of Christ, that we might follow him and that he might be all to me? The object of faith, the obedience of faith. And now let's turn to Hebrews for the endurance of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. The endurance of faith. And we'll take up the verses there where we left off. Verse 9 and verse 10. The endurance of faith. By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker was God. Notice here Abram. He goes into the country that God had called him to, came into the land of Canaan, and he sojourned in verse 9 in the land of promise. He was a sojourner. He was a pilgrim in the land that God had promised to give to him. He was a pilgrim, a sojourner. He was as in a strange country. It was not his home. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. The hymn writer puts it that way. And he was dwelling in tabernacles or tents. No permanent dwelling. Notice that Abraham, he didn't seek to put roots down here in this world. In fact, when he came to Canaan, was Canaan any better than Ur of the Chaldees? He came from an idolatrous country, and he came into Canaan. And what was there? A nation of idolaters. The same as in Ur of the Chaldees, because man in the flesh has rejected God. There is nothing in this world for the man who seeks to follow the Lord and to be faithful to him. And so there is nothing here for Abraham to set down roots. And in fact, he sojourned in a land of promise. And then in verse 10, he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't looking for something in this world. He was looking for something outside of this world. He was looking for that heavenly city. You know, we could say of Lot and Abraham, as the two of them went together, Lot looked for a city as well. The scripture doesn't tell us that, but by example it gives us that. That Lot looked for a city, and he found it. Where did he find it? He found it in Sodom. And remember, there was conflict between Abraham and Lot, and so they parted ways, and Lot went towards Sodom because it looked like a place that would satisfy all his earthly requirements. And what happened? He found the city he was looking for. He found what was satisfying to him in the flesh. And he lost absolutely everything. He lost his wife. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost everything. Because he looked for it here in this world. And there's nothing lasting that is here. Because all defiled by sin and under the authority of Satan. But Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. You know, there's a verse in Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. And then it says there, Christ gave himself for us. that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Delivered from this world, Christ gave himself for us that he would be the object of our faith, that by the obedience of faith, we might follow him and have the endurance of faith. But what is the endurance of faith? Is not looking for something here, but is looking for something in glory. And what is that something? God has promised to us a home in heaven. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, and for us that's the hope that is reserved for us in heaven. It's a hope that fadeth not away. It's an enduring hope. It's a hope that is based in the finished work and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is sitting at the Father's right hand. Our hope is in heaven, not in the scene. It's not what we look for here. Yes, we occupy till he comes. We're responsible here with what the Lord has given us to do here. Yes, for his glory. That the God of glory may be glorified in you and me. But here in this world, what a hope that is set before us. That hope is the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. Our hope is in heaven. The Lord Jesus said to his own, his disciples, he said to them, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. His desire is to have you and me, all of us together with him in the place that he has prepared. Oh, what a day that will be. The endurance of faith is to have our heart, our eyes, the object of faith set on Christ in the glory, the hope that is set before us. May we be looking unto him. And as we then look, the trial of faith, and think of Abraham, the trial of faith. First, we're in Hebrews 11. Let's just read those verses in Hebrews 11, the test or trial of faith for Abraham, verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. This takes us all the way back to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, and in the opening verse of Genesis 22, we have the account that we just read in Hebrews chapter 11. And in verse 1 of Genesis 22, it came to pass after these things, after the way that God had proven himself to Abraham, that he had proven his word to him, he had proven in all ways he was faithful to him. Notice, and if you go through the account of Abraham in his life, how God had shown himself to him. He had shown it. We've seen. He is the God of glory. But you find in his life, he's the Most High God. He is the possessor of heaven and earth. He is his shield and his exceeding great reward. The Almighty God and the Everlasting Father. These are all ways that God had glorified himself and shown himself to Abraham in his life up to this point. Now you come to Genesis 22, and it says, God did test Abraham. And he said to Abraham, and I trust we all know what he said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, the son whom you love, your only begotten son, it says in Hebrews 11, and take him and offer him up for a sacrifice on a mountain that I shall tell you. Oh, what a test of faith was set before Abraham. Naturally speaking, it went against absolutely everything that would be considered normal or even right in Abraham's life. And for us too. But you know, the scripture tells us that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. God had proven himself to him faithful. And now Abraham gets another instruction from the God of glory, and he says to him, offer up thy son, and we know the story. But Abraham went by faith and to do exactly as God had told him to do.
In Abraham, can we say it simply this way? He passes the test. And for Isaac, a substitute was found.
But what a picture of the Lord Jesus and the Father going on together. And for the Lord Jesus, no substitute was found. He became the substitute for you and for me, that we might come unto God by Him, having our sins forgiven. And Abraham passes the test. He offers up his only son, his only begotten son. The test of faith. He responds to God, not according to nature, not according to what we would do by nature, but according to faith. Faithfulness in the one who had become the object of his faith, who was everything to him. And he took God at his word, trusting him. And so the trial of faith proven in Abraham that God was faithful to his word. Now, how does this apply to us? We can look at Abraham. I know I can, for me, look at Abraham and see, yeah, well, that was Abraham. You know, we have trials and tests. In fact, every one of you have a different trial or test than I do, all different from each other. And yet God is able and faithful in each and every one of them. And He would have us, just as Abraham had the object of faith set before him as the God of glory, He would set before us Jesus Christ. And that's the answer for us, for the test of faith. It's not to look at the problem, not to look at the challenge, but to look at the object of faith. And this is what is told to us in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's just conclude with these verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," we can say that's Abraham and many others as we'll even have before us today, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. Let us run with patience," or endurance, it's the endurance of faith, "the race that is set before us." How do we do this? Looking off of everything else and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Looking off unto Him, not looking at the problem, but realizing that the object of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, is greater than the problem. Young people, every conversation, it seems, takes place nowadays, somehow has to come back to the coronavirus, doesn't it? It gets tiring after a while. And sometimes we're focused on this aspect or that aspect of the challenges that are facing this world. And the Lord is saying to us, don't look at all of those things. Look off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where we find strength and hope and security. That's where our hope is secure in heaven, and the object of our faith in Christ seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Young people, this is the only answer. There is none other. Abraham was called to separate himself from all that this world had. You know, this coronavirus and all the other troubles in this world are all as a result of sin and rejecting God in this world. But He's called us out. He's called us to glory. He's given us something better. And we anticipate that day when we will be with Him. The object of faith. What think ye of Christ? I trust that it's the Lord Jesus Christ for each and every one of us. And that the obedience of faith would be that our desire would be towards Him and the testimony of His name, to live a life separated unto Him. The endurance of faith, that our hope is fixed on Christ in the glory. And that when the test comes, the object doesn't change. When the test comes, it's ever Christ in the glory, looking off unto Him. And that He is the one who is able to help. You know, He has suffered
and been tested in every way, like as unto you and I, yet sin apart. So he is able to succor, to help each of us who are in need. Where we can come to him with all those challenges and troubles. And looking off unto him, we'll find strength for the way, encouragement for the path, faithfulness to him, that he may be ever the object of our faith, and that we will be found, as a result, faithful to him. Lord, encourage us and help us as we look off unto Jesus.